Let's just get into the word. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We do ask and receive this morning that as we go into the word, our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of the word. There is no confusion as God's word is taught. There is no confusion as God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy and precision. And at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Yeah, this morning this is our first Sunday service in the new series. So we are dealing with concerning spirituals this month. We're dealing with concerning spirituals, and we're trying to explain certain things from God's word. If you are with your Bibles, which I believe you should be with, you know, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 18 says, "All power," Jesus came and said unto them, saying, "All power," that's the word authority, "is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." The word their power is the word their authority. Yeah, we've explained over and over that Jesus is teaching from Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, the first writer of the Bible to use the word heaven and earth is Moses. Yeah, and he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." He says, verse 19, he says, "Go ye therefore into the world and teach all nations." He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now, see what he says. He says, "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Yeah, and we explain that this is the only verse in the entire Bible that has the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, what we have as saints is the name of the Son. So what he's really speaking about here is baptizing them in the name of the Son. Yeah, he now says in verse, so he says baptizing them in the name of the Son. He now tells you what baptizing is in verse 20. He says teaching them to observe. So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Yeah, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Yeah, so it means that there are certain things that Jesus gave as instructions, as charge, and he says that go into the world teaching that which you've been taught. Yeah, in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 1 to 3, it shows that Jesus taught for 40 days. Is that true? Jesus taught for how many days? 40 days. What was he teaching about? Teaching, speaking, pertaining the kingdom of God. Yeah, I'll look at something about the kingdom of God on Wednesday. Is that true? On Wednesday, yeah, look at Mark's rendering of that. Look at Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. Verse 15. Look at verse 15. It says, "He said unto them, Go ye into the world." What did Matthew say? "Go ye therefore into the world," right? "And teach all nations." What did he say here in Mark? He says, "Go ye into the world and preach the gospel." So if you are to read in Matthew where he says, "Teach all nations," what does "teach all nations" mean? Preach the gospel to every... Are we here? So preaching the gospel to every creature in Mark 16 is equal to "teach all nations" in Matthew 28. Are we here? Now, he says in verse 16, he says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth and is not baptized shall be damned." Did I read that well? Okay, so look at it again. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not." Why do you suppose he didn't mention baptize again? Because what he's speaking about is really believing. Did you get that? The reason he did not mention "he that believeth not and is not baptized" is because the context of what he's speaking about is about what? "He that believes." So "he that believeth," that is baptized, what? "Shall be saved," or is saved. "But he that believeth not shall be damned." Now look at verse 17. He now says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. So there are signs that will follow them that believe. Right? Now remember, those that believe are the ones that are to preach the gospel so the others can believe. Is that true? So we are to listen to the gospel and believe the gospel and become a preacher of the gospel. Yeah, you who has heard the gospel and has now believed the gospel, there are signs that shall follow you. What did he say? In my name they shall cast out what? Devils. And they shall speak with what? New tongues. So fundamentally for the believer, this is fundamental for every believer. You get that? Yeah, so every believer that gets saved instantly has the power to cast out devils and speak in tongues. Are we here? Let me say it again. Everyone who has believed the gospel instantly has the authority or has the power to cast out devils and to speak with new tongues. So we're going to dwell on Mark 16:17 in our next teaching, where we're going to pay attention to tongues. Because we're going to teach about tongues in this series, we'll pay more attention to the utterance gifts. Yeah, utterance gifts, tongues, and interpretation, prophecies. We're going to pay attention to that in this particular series again. Yeah, then on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're going to pay attention to the gifts of healing. You know, and the gifts of healing, miracles, and all of that. Yeah, but it says that fundamentally for he who believes, there is a sign that shall accompany. What is the sign? They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Why do you suppose that is true? Look at Mark 6:33. We looked at this on Sunday. Matthew 6:33. We looked at it on Sunday. What did Jesus mean by seek ye first the kingdom of God? Yeah, he says, but seek. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. Yeah, beautiful. So we looked at it on Sunday that Jesus was teaching that there are the needs of people or the concerns of people's needs are not limited to those that are in Christ. Once you are a man, you have a concern of or you have a need for a need. Yeah, you always but you have a tendency to want to bother about what to eat, what to drink, and what to. Where? Right? But it says something. It says, seek ye first. The word there, seek, is the word that means to desire. Yeah, to look forward to. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hold on. What did Jesus teach about for 40 days after resurrection? Kingdom of God. Was this before resurrection? Yes? Was this before his resurrection? What did he tell them before his resurrection? Desire to see that resurrection. What did he tell them after resurrection? He thought about the resurrection. Are we together? Are we together? He says, and all these things shall be added. Now, if a very careless way to read this verse is that because you seek the kingdom of God, then things will be added unto you. You and I know it is not true if we are genuine and we are sincere. Yeah? But what is he saying? So a good way to read that would be what? Desire to see or desire to be a partaker of that kingdom of God. That is the resurrection. Yeah, he now says, and his righteousness. Yeah, desire to be a partaker of God's kingdom and his righteousness, which is equal to what? Be a partaker of the resurrection. Is that true? Yeah, be a partaker of the kingdom is equal to be a partaker of the resurrection. He now says, and all these things shall be added unto you anyway. Yeah, that's a good way to read that. So he's not linking the fact that you seek to the fact that things will be added. Yeah, we looked at that on Wednesday. Look at Matthew 7:7, the next chapter. When it says, ask, seek, knock. Let's read Matthew 7:7 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Right? So, if you pick a verse out of context, forgetting the pretext and the pretext, you most likely end up in a ditch. Did you hear that? Yeah, in Bible interpretation and Bible study, if you take a text out of context, what does context mean? The surrounding narrative around that text. If you take a text out of context, forgetting the pretext, what's pretext? That which was said before. Yeah? So forgetting the pretext and the post-text, what is post-text? That which is said after that text. Yeah, you will most likely end up in a ditch. Let me give an example. From church, when I leave church, I'll be going to Area 11. And from there, I'll be going to Asokoro. And from there, I'll be going home. What do we do? a lot of Christians, what we do is that what? We pick, I'll be going home and dwell on it. So imagine if after you read my letter and you just read, I'll be going home. What will you do? You might want to go and wait for me at home. But it might take me 3-4 days before I get home. Because there were some things I said before and some things I probably said after. So when you pick a text out of context, forgetting the narrative involved. Remember, the Bible was written in chapters and verses. So if you pick a text, forgetting the context, you will most likely end up in a ditch. That's a figurative expression for you will end up in error. Yeah? You would say what the text is not saying. Did you get that? Yeah? When you take a text out of context, you will end up saying what the text is not saying. So when you say, ask, it shall be given unto you, and you wake up on a Monday morning and you quote Matthew 7:7, ask, it shall be given unto you, seek, it shall find, knock, just shall be opened unto you, and you think it is talking about anything on earth, you have just ended up in what? Error. Yeah? So what it says in verse 8? Let's read verse 8 together. 1, 2, 3, go. So it means that there's a receiving when you ask. Is that true? Yeah? But we want to pay attention to what he is talking about in reference to asking. So, for everyone receiver that asks, the next one. Yeah, that means he that will seek, we find. He that we ask, we what? Receive. And to him that knocketh, he shall be opened. Yeah, so these are definite. Not it may be open, not he may receive, not he may find. Yeah, for everyone that asketh shall receive, that he receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. Yeah, and he that knocketh shall be opened unto him. Look at verse 9 quickly. Or what manner of man is there of you, whom if his son should ask for bread, you will give him stone? How many of you hear that if you have a son, if he asks you for bread, you will give him stone? Okay, none, right? Look at verse 10. Or if your son should ask you for fish, you will give him serpent. How many of you are like that? You know, I can't ask this question in countries like China. You know, I can't ask this question in countries like China. Abby? Can I? Because they can give your son serpent now. Yeah? So, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. So, first of all, as a man, you cannot be as good as God. Is that not true? Yeah, if you in your state of not being as good as God, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more shall the heavenly Father which is in heaven, yeah, give good things to them that ask him? Now, did he say anything about them that seek and knock again? Hold on. In Matthew 6:33, what did he say? Seek. Seek. People of God, please follow. In Matthew 6:33, what did he say? Seek. In Matthew 7:7, what did he say? Ask, seek, knock. In Matthew 7:11, what did he say? Ask. Can you really see that seek is equal to asking, seeking, knocking, and is equal to asking? It's the same thing. Altogether, it's the same thing. Just using different narratives to pass the same point across. So, the context of seeking is actually to ask. You get that? The context of seeking first the kingdom of God is actually to desire, to ask for. And he told you that he that would ask will what? Receive. He that will seek will what? Find. So, seeking first the kingdom of God, what are you to find? He says, seeking first the kingdom of God, right? What are you to find when you seek the kingdom of God? You find the kingdom of God. Because he told you, ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. So if you ask for the kingdom of God, what will you receive? If you seek for the kingdom of God, what will you receive? If you knock for the kingdom of God, what will you receive? Begin to just say it. Just stay there. The kingdom of God. So he says, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father give you good things? Now, this is a text that a lot of people take out of context to mean that, oh, God will give you everything you ask for, just like that. No. You see, King James translation, now remember I always say something, there's a difference between interpretation and translation. That's why it is, it's called, interpretation means to bring something in a form in which it is to another form for a better understanding. Translation simply means to replicate what you've seen in a different, most likely language for easy communication. So that's why it is called tongues and interpretation, not tongues and translation. Because if it is tongues and translation, it means that for every tongues you are speaking, you are translating it word for word what is to be said. If it's tongues and interpretation, it means that you are bringing into the foreknowledge of people that which you have said in tongues. Did you get that? Yeah, so it's tongues and interpretation, not tongues and translation. So what you call King James translation actually is actually King James interpretation a lot of times. Because a lot of words that were not in the original manuscript were now added. For it to be a translation, it means that every word in the manuscript is replicated equally. Did you get that? Did you get that? So if you say something in Yoruba and you want to translate it in English, let's give a practical example. In French, there's something they say, je m'appelle, let me use myself as an example. Je m'appelle Joshua Yusuf. Je m'appelle means I am. Hey. Hi, Spanish. You are getting there. You have got it there. Yeah. Je m'appelle Joshua Yusuf. Actually, what we call it to be is, as an interpretation in English, is my name is Joshua Yusuf. If you want to translate Je m'appelle in from French to English, Je m'appelle Joshua Yusuf is actually I am called Joshua Yusuf. Are we together? See, a basic explanation of interpretation and translation. To translate it is I am called Joshua Yusuf. To interpret it is my name is Joshua Yusuf. Can you see? In the same Je m'appelle, in one of them there's something called name is. In second one there is called am. Did you get that? So now the translation of this verse in the Greek manuscript, this word good things is a singular word, and the word in the Greek is the word agathos, A-G-A-T-H-O-S. Yes, A-G-A-T-H-O-S. A-G-A-T-H-O-S. And the meaning of that word means something that is inherently good. Something that is full of goodness. Or something that is good. That which is good. Are we here this morning? Are we learning something? Are we learning something? Now, the word there, agathos, is the word that means that which is good. Now, remember I didn't say something. I didn't say those which are good. Are we here? I didn't say those which are good. I said that which is good. If I said those which are good, it means there are plenty. Did you get that? If I say that which is good, it means it is one. So, let's read this again now. Having known that we have what? Brought a translation to this word. Now, what did we do? We brought a translation to this word from the original manuscript, agathos. Now, how do we read this? It says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give a good thing? Did you get that? So, what is God giving in that context? Good things or good thing? Let me say it again. What is God giving in that verse? Good things or good thing? So it means that the thing that God is giving is a singular thing, not numerous things. What did King James do in their translation? They put a plural to the good things. How do you know what I'm saying is correct? So we've gone through the theological analysis, through the, you know, lexicon, the Greek word and all of that. Let's now look at a contextual read by Luke. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Luke 11, verse 9. Luke 11, verse 9. Are we there? Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. The first portion of scriptures we read that had this same thing was where? Matthew 7. Where is this? Is it the same thing? Is Matthew equal to Luke? No. But did what Matthew say, is he equal to what Luke said? Beautiful, you got that. Now look at verse 10. Let's read together again. 1, 2, 3, go. Did you read this in Matthew? Are they the same people? Are they saying the same thing? Look at verse 11. If a son should ask bread of you, that is a father, will you give him stone? What did Matthew call it first? If your son should ask what? Will he give you what? Is it the same thing they said? If he should ask for a fish, will he give him serpent? Is that the same thing Matthew said? Now see what Luke says. Look at verse 12. If he should ask for egg, Luke now added his own. I'm sure he likes bread and egg. Yeah? If sunny side up. Say, if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him scorpion? Let me now tell you. Let me tell you something. Matthew and Luke were most likely at the place where Jesus made these statements. Is that true? What Luke did, Luke added a singular, another line that Matthew did not add. Who do you think will be more detailed, Luke or Matthew? Look at it. Imagine I come and I make 10 statements. Sister Pleasance writes 7 of them. Brashegun writes 10 of them. Who is more detailed between 2 of them? Brashegun. So who should we read? So it means that we should read Brashegun a lot of times to understand the complete writings of Sister Pleasant. Did you get that? So Luke added egg and scorpion. Matthew ended with bread and stone, fish and serpent. Luke added what? So most likely Jesus still used egg and scorpion. But Matthew did not write it. Are we here? Now see what Luke now says in the next verse. Look at verse 13. If ye then being evil, is that the same thing Matthew wrote? Know how to give good gifts to your children. Is that the same thing? How much more shall your heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to them that ask. What did Matthew call it? Good things. You see translation problem? You see that? Matthew said good things. If you read Matthew 7 verse 11, you say, oh, good things. God gives good things. Yeah? What is that? Now remember, we said good things is a singular word that is agathos. That which is inherently good. So the thing that God gives is a singular thing that is inherently good. What is that? You are there. So what did he say? How much will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So the asking, the seeking, the knocking is about what? Let me say it again. The asking, the seeking, and knocking is about what? Did I say God does not meet your needs? Did I say God doesn't meet your needs? The asking, the seeking, the receiving. The asking, the receiving. The seeking, the finding. The knocking, the door being open is about what? The Holy Spirit. What did he call it in Matthew 6:33? Say it. You know it. Kingdom of God. So that which God gives is what? The Holy Spirit. So how much more? Remember, at this time, Jesus had not died. He had not resurrected. So now, are you one to make, ask, seek, knock your favorite verse? Is Matthew 7:7 to be your favorite verse? Why is it not supposed to be? Because that which is to be asked, seeked, what's this? I wanted to say it that way. Sock. Eh? Sought. Sought. Okay, that's sought. Let me say it again. That which is to be asked for, and that which you are to seek. Yeah? That which to be asked for, that which to be sought, and that which is to be knocked about, is about the kingdom of God. Have you received the kingdom of God? How did you receive it? By believing the gospel. In believing the gospel, that is, you've received the kingdom of God. What did you really receive? God's good thing. Say, I've received of God's good thing. Say with conviction, I've received God's good thing. The Holy Spirit. So it means that as believers, we now have the indwelling of the Spirit. Now, we have received the Spirit of God by believing the gospel. Are we here this morning? Look at John 16, verse 12. Look at John chapter 16, verse 12. John 16, 12. Look at what Jesus says. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is that the good thing? Can we read it this way? How be it when the kingdom of God is come? Can read it this way. Howbeit, when the kingdom of God is received, that which is of the kingdom of God is who? The Spirit. He shall guide you into all the truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. So what is guiding into all truth? Let me show you something in verse 14. He shall what? So it means that that which the Spirit of God will do and that which he will guide you into is concerning the glorification of God, of Jesus. So go back to verse 14. So when he says he will guide you into all truth, what is it? It will guide you into all truth concerning the glorification. Is that true? Yeah. This is not saying to guide you into... It's not saying... You know, you hear people say something about the truth. The truth shall set you... The truth... And you shall know the truth and it shall set you free. Not again. Think about it this way. If you have kids that are growing, while we're growing up, some of us are stole. Now you say, Even Paul told the Ephesians, for let him that steal no more. Hey, so there's always a time for a new beginning. Amen? So some of those of us that stole are good at stealing. Glory to God. You don't blame some mothers when they finish cooking goat meat, they count it. How many of you grew up in that house where your mother used to count chicken? Mother will count chicken to the leg. You know, when we're growing up, if you took something that was not yours in your father's house, when your father comes and says, maybe people are plenty. Yeah? It becomes very interesting when you're the only one they left in the house. And you still say it's not you. But imagine if you have three children or four children and something is missing and they call of you. What? I remember my mom that time. No, I don't think we asked. Okay. Your mother. Mother will put four of you like this and say, tell me the truth. I will not beat you. See, let me say this. Moment you hear, see, don't bring up your children that way. Moment you hear, I will not. The not there is mitonimi. What is mitonimi? Mitonimi means the word that is not, that is in the sentence, but it is not there. When your mother says, I will beat you. When your mother says, I will not beat you. What your figure of speech here should be hearing is, I will flog you. Are you together? Yeah. So, your mother now says, just tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. You know, all lies. How many of you used to bribe yourself with those things? All lies go to hell. Every sort of lies. If it became so part of us that even when we are lying, we'll be adding it. All lies go to hell. You know, your mother says, just say the truth. I won't beat you. And you see, in your own innocent mind, she will now quote John for you. If you say the truth will set you free. You'll be free. Say you are the one now. If you have interesting parents who will not flog you immediately, but wait for others to sleep and wake you up by 2 a.m. Oh, glory to God. Look at us, all of us today now. Some of us are smiling with glasses, forming fine boy and all this. You know, life is in stages. Life is in phases. So when you see the scripture speaks about guiding you into all truth, it is the truth that relates to the glorification of Jesus. What does Luke 24 now say? Verse 24, 24. Certain of them went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but he they saw not. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet had spoken. Yeah, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, yeah, and the prophet, he explained what? In all the scriptures, the things concerning him. What would the things concerning him really be? The glorification of himself. What did the prophet say about? He says what? Ought not Christ to have suffered and enter into his glory? Yeah? So entering into his glory is the glorification of Jesus. That is what the Spirit of God in you will guide you into. So when he says guide you into all truth, think about it. Our parents, if they know how to quote scriptures very well, they should have made this verse their favorite verse. Because when you have four of your children, one of them stole something, you want to find out who stole it. Just put on one button in your head to guide me into all truth. You start using word of knowledge. You know, sometimes we thank God that that's what I want to say. You know, there's a way you can be so accurate in word of knowledge that you're using it for your daily activities. That's a professional. Imagine Nigerian police force is just, they know you. Once they say three people stole something and they want to find out who, they just say, just go and call Brahiri. No, his name will not be Brahiri, it's Detective Ayiri. Jairus will just come and just look at them and says, yo, I saw that at 10:15, you took 10 steps forward and 2 steps backwards. You tried to check if there was a camera in the house. Ah, true word of knowledge. Don't think you'll be rich. We just use him to know the people in government that are stealing our money. So, really, he's saying that he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. But whatsoever I shall hear, he shall speak. Whatsoever he shall hear, shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Yeah, he shall glorify me. Verse 14. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. Look at verse 16. Let's read verse 16 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Know this, remember this series? Yeah? A little why? Some of you have used that thing to message me in this church. You are not even, you don't even respect doctrine. Don't message me and say, little why, sir, you see me, sir. Because I'm going. Yeah, so it says, a little why you shall not see me, and again a little why you shall see me because I go. It beats logic. Is that true? How can you say you will see? I'm coming, oh. You know, anyway, something we do in Nigeria. I think the person that wrote this verse in Nigeria, KJV, King James should be from Nigeria. I'm coming. Now you go see me. And you are going. That's what Jesus was teaching. I say King James is in Nigeria. He's a Yoruba man. So Jesus said something. In a little while you will see me. Because I go. It's logic. In the real sense, my going is so that you cannot see me. But now you will see me because I'm going. What's the teaching? Yeah, it was teaching that he will leave their physical eyes to come and indwell them. Hallelujah. So, in a little while, you will not see me. It means that your physical eyes will not see me the way you had seen me walking from street to street healing the sick. This was John 16. Yeah, and again, a little while you shall see me because I go. So, what does that mean? Indwelling of the Spirit. Look at verse 17. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he's saying unto us? A little while he shall not see me. Again, a little while he shall see me because I go to the Father. Verse 18. They said, therefore, what is that he said? A little while. We cannot tell what he said. Verse 19. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous, right? Yeah, to ask him. And said unto them, do you inquire among yourself of that I said? A little while you shall see me, a little while you shall not see me because I go. Verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. What do you think he was speaking about? His resurrection. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have received of his resurrection. Oh, glory to God. We are partakers of God's kingdom. Yeah? We're partakers of God's kingdom. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, his presence is heaven in us. Hallelujah. His presence is heaven in us. Oh, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we've received of his Spirit. We've received of his Spirit. We've received of his grace. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We've received of his love. Romans 5 says, while we're yet sinners, you know, Christ died for us. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 13. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Spirit with you all. 13:14, sorry. I said 12:13. 13:14. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. What you call sharing the grace. Sharing the grace. What it says. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. What, everybody together, please, please. 1, 2, 3, go. Now look at that. So it says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've explained over and over that the word there and is a word that doesn't always mean a conjunction that joins two different things. But usually a lot of times it explains what was said before. Yeah, so the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is not saying this is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at here, everyone. Then this is now the love of God. Then this is the communion of the Spirit. Then we have to mix it together and make... No, you're not in cold stone. Yeah? It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the... So, this is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah? What a layman will read it as is, this is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what? Love of God, supply of the Spirit. What is Paul saying? This is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the love of God, that is the communion of the Spirit. Did you get that? Yeah. So the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, which is the love of God. So how do you understand the love of God? You see it as the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was poor. How that he was rich, he became poor rather. That you through his poverty might become what? Rich. That is the grace of God Jesus Christ. What is his poverty? For us to be rich, it is the love of God. What is the riches? The communion of the Spirit. Are we together? So he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the love of God, that is the supply of the Spirit. So, now, he says, be with you all. There's a word in bracket in that verse. What's the word? Be, right? So it means that in the original manuscript, it wasn't there. So what Paul is really saying is with you all. What is amen there? Done. Fulfilled. Yeah, so the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are praying, it's not a New Testament prayer to say, as you are going, the presence of the Lord goes with you. It's not a New Testament prayer point, is it? Lord, as we are going, let your presence never depart from us. It's not a valid prayer. Because it is with you. It is with you. We're the carriers of God's presence. Why? Because we've received of his kingdom. Hallelujah. Say, I've received of God's kingdom. I have God's good thing. I have the Holy Ghost. How do you know? It says the communion. The word there, communion, is the word that is the word that means koinonia. It means fellowship or supply. So we've received of the supply of the Spirit. We've received. Look at it this way. Let me now use Luke 11 to explain it. We've received of the supply of the Spirit. So it means that God supplies the Spirit and the believer receives. Follow everyone, please. If God supplies the Spirit and the believer receives, what did the believer do first? He asked. Did you get that? If God is the one who supplies the Spirit, which is his riches, and you and I receive, in the context of Luke chapter 11, it is he that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh what? Findeth. So, the supply of the Spirit has been given unto us. Now, let's pay attention to a few words in that verse. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the love of God, which is the supply of the Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. You see the word there, Holy Ghost, is the Greek word Arios. H-E-I-R-O-S. Yeah? It's the word Arios. And it's a word that means something that is set apart or set aside for a particular purpose. Are we together? I'll say it again. The word there, holy, it means something set apart for a specific particular reason. Something that is unique unto a reason, unto a purpose. For instance, we sang a song this morning. You've opened my... You've given me life. You've set me apart. Did you sing something like that this morning? Last week. Yeah? What was the lyrics? You've entered my heart. You set me apart. Yeah? What does setting apart mean? It means you are holy. Are we together? So when you say, you've entered my heart, you've set me apart, it is the entering of the heart that is setting apart. Moment he has entered into the heart of a man, the man has been set apart. The man is holy. So holy is not, in as much as the context determines a law of time, but holy is not always speaking about that which is without sin. Moses, remove your shoe, for that ground you are standing on is holy. He's not saying the ground is not sin. Are we together? This church, this auditorium is holy unto our meetings on Sunday. It doesn't mean that this auditorium doesn't have sin. If I want to trace it back to the original foundation of the auditorium, you might find out that, think about it now, you don't know who did the cement. You know the man that plastered the place. The microphone I use on Sunday is holy unto the pastor that teaches. What does it mean? It is set aside. So when it says the communion of the Holy Ghost, it means that the supply of the set apart Spirit for a particular purpose. Are we here this morning? So, holy doesn't necessarily mean, always mean something that's superior or something that is without sin. It just means something that is set apart for a particular purpose. So, the Spirit that God has given unto us upon the new birth sets us apart for a specific use.
What do you think the use will be? He says, go ye therefore into the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I am one who is holy. It means I am one who is set apart for God's use. Use me, Lord, to change the whole world, that your church may be strong. Use me, Lord. Yeah. Why do we sing songs, such songs of consecration? Is that we are one, we are people who have understood that we are set apart for God's use on earth. We are God's extension on the earth. We are God's temple on the earth. Whatever God will do on earth, he will do through us. That means you're holy. Hallelujah. 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 So what Jesus did in his suffering and his resurrection is to give us a spirit that is designated to set us apart. Hallelujah. 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 So he says that the communion, what did I say communion is? Supply. Can we say that? Communion is something that is given to one to receive. Hallelujah. Yeah, something that is given to one to receive. Now, who initiated the giving? Is it you or God? Who initiated the giving? Yeah, don't say the giver. In as much as I know, is the giver. Yeah. Who is the giver? So, who initiated the giving of the Spirit? When we see God gave his Spirit, what does it mean? The love of God. What does it mean again? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So every man who has believed the gospel has received God's Spirit. We're going somewhere. Look at John 3:1. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's read John 3:1 together. 1, 2, 3, go. That's 2. That's 3. Hold on. What is the kingdom of God? It's resurrection. What is Jesus saying? Except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What does see the kingdom of God mean? Partake of the kingdom of God. So, what did Matthew tell us and Luke? Ask, seek, knock. When you ask, you receive. When you receive, receiving is becoming a partaker. Right? What did John tell us? He says what? I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see. That word see would mean what? Be a partaker of the resurrection. So being born again makes you a partaker of the resurrection. What does it mean? It means that you will live forever. Hallelujah. It means that though we sleep in our mortal body, we will rise up one day and live forever. Hallelujah. 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 Say, I'm born of God. I'm full of power. The Holy Ghost lives in me. So Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot be a partaker of my life. Did you see that? What is the life? The resurrection. You see, let me correct this today. You know, the life of God is not Zoe. Some of you are smiling because I allowed it to slide for a long time. You know when you sing that song, this life that I have, is that a song? It's the life of God in me. Zoe, it's just music. Eh? Zoe is the Greek word for the word life. Yeah? Zoe is not a special life. Zoe is... Why are you looking at me like this? Yeah. Yeah? There's so many times I would have sang the song, I would have wanted to come up to correct it, but I'm like, okay, let me allow it to slide. I'll correct it after, maybe I'll just forget. Yeah, but this reminds me. So when it says, except the man born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Zoe is not there. Is not. You see, what's the name of that love that we say is the love of God? Agape is not the love of God. Though. Are we together? Yeah? So... Maybe that's something we want to sing. This life that I have is the life of God in me. Life, life. Life, life. Just leave it there. Because by the time you attack Zoe to it, it makes it look like there's something unique about Zoe. Oh, Zoe lives in me. What you're just saying? Okay. Matthew. Okay, let's stay here. I say unto you, except a man be born again. Yeah, what does it mean to be born again? It means to come alive. Yeah, by the work of resurrection. Yeah, he cannot be a partaker of the kingdom of God. Now see what it says in verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born. People of God, is this a legitimate concern? Is it legitimate? How can you, as grown as this, go back into your mother's womb? I saw a video somewhere of a lady. I can't remember how they said the joke was. After they gave birth to the child, when the child started talking, the only thing the child knew how to say was "daddy, daddy, daddy, daddy." The mom just got angry and started pushing her back. Or he said. Yeah, he says he cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born. Look at what Jesus now says in verse 5. So Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. What word is not in this verse? There's a word in this verse that is not supposed to be there. What's the word? Of is in bracket. So a good way to read that would be, except a man be born of water and the Spirit. So born of water and the Spirit. So the Spirit, the article the before Spirit makes it definite. What did Matthew call it? Good things, which is actually good thing. What is the good thing? Luke tells us is the Spirit. So except a man be born of water and of the good thing. Yes, you got there already. So except now the word there and is what? Kai, which is. So it means that except a man be born of water, which is the Spirit. So can we say, except a man born of water, that is the good thing? Is that true? So except a man born of water, which is the Spirit, he cannot what? Enter into the kingdom of God. What is entering into the kingdom of God? Being a partaker. What's the kingdom of God? Resurrection. So he's not saying water baptism, right? Yeah, except a man be born of water, that is the Spirit. That is the... So water was used as figurative for what? The Spirit. How do we know? Look at John 7. John 7, 37. Let's read this together. Let's read this together. John 7, 37. 1, 2, 3, go. Picture it this way. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Did he cry with tears? What is cried there? Figurative for what he shouted. He expressed in a loud voice or with a loud voice. So in the last day, Jesus cried. So you see, not every rewards determine the context of what he's saying. So he says that he stood and cried. How do you know what is his crying? His crying is the same. So when you see John the Baptist was in the wilderness crying, preparing the way of the Lord, was he really crying? Why are you laughing? Kingdom of... Prepare you the way. Imagine you just saying this thing. I know how to cry, man. God forbid. How can you know how to cry? Now, the people, you know, there's a business called crying business. They call them the wailers. If any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. See what Jesus did. Everyone look at me. He stood at the midst of people and said, what? If any of you is thirsty, come and drink. In our day and time, the first thing that comes to your mind is, where is the water? Second thing that comes to your mind is, where is the bowl? Okay, no, in those days, well. Today is bowl. That's what comes to your mind. Like, if you are thirsty, let him come and drink. So imagine if there was someone who had a bottle of swan with him. Wait, what was Ragolis? Ragolis is a company. How can we call all water Ragolis? You know that Nigerians, we call all bottle water Ragolis bottle. So Ragolis was a company, but they're not selling water again. Ragolis.
I don't think I know Ragolis, but I just use every bottle like this Ragolis. So he says, so imagine someone was amongst the people and said, what? I just drank water. I'm not thirsty. You will miss out on the water that God needs to supply. Look at what he says in verse 38. He that what? He that what? He that believeth on me. So does Jesus have a water to give? How does he give the water? How do you receive the water? By believing. So he gives the water upon his resurrection, which is what he called in John chapter 3 verse what? Born of water, that is the spirit. So the water that God gives is the water that what? Is the spirit. So look at it again. He says that he that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I remember about maybe 5 years ago or thereabout, I've taught from this scripture. And this is what I teach from this scripture. Let me laugh at myself more today. Because I should say something like, you know, connect you to Ezekiel. See, that's like, for instance, now I spoke about Zoe today. Say, I love people who are saying, yes. So imagine me one day, maybe I didn't even know what Zoe was. I just say, oh, wow, I have Zoe. Zoe lives in me. You know, look at me and say, Pastor, he will soon get there. Leave him. He's on his way. You see, that's why give yourself to sound doctrine and just pay attention to a lot of things like that. So he says, when I teach this thing from Ezekiel 37, when it says the water shall flow out from the temple. Do you know that scripture? She's like, you're laughing at me. I'll be laughing with me. But I laugh with me. Ezekiel 37, when it says water shall flow out of the temple and shall flow to the north, to the south. Wait, let me know. How many of you have heard me teach that thing? Thank God. God, you are faithful. Now I know. Yeah, Ezekiel. Look at that scripture. Get that scripture for me. Let me get it. Mm-hmm. Where is the verse that says it flows from the temple? From verse 1 now. Ezekiel 47 verse 1. Afterwards, he brought me again a hand to the door of the house. And behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the house, eastward. Don't laugh at me. He says, for the forefront of the house stood towards the east. And the west came down from under, from the right side of the house. And the south side of the altar. This verse I'm looking for. You are there. Thank you. Yeah, so water came out from the altar, from the house, from the temple. Look at verse 2. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the outer gate. By the way, he looked at this toward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. See, I sound prophetic. Look at verse 3. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters, and the waters were on my ankles. So the water that came up from the temple started to rise. That spirit of God taking over the earth. Yeah. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me to the water, and the waters were on my knee. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me to the water were on my loins. That's 5. Afterwards, he measured 1,000 and the river I could not pass over, for the water was risen, water to swim in, and the river that could not be passed over. Verse 6. And he said unto me, son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Verse 7. Now when I returned, behold, the bank of the river, where were many trees. Let me not go into this erroneous thing I want to say. Yeah, don't mind me. But I should teach that, you know, the water that flows from the temple, yes, water that heals the challenges and the governmental, you know, issues and societal issues. Yeah? So, John 7, go back to John 7. So it says, out of his belly, that is your belly. Look at John 7. John 7, 37. Where we were now? Verse 38, sorry. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, out of my belly is a river of living water. Scripture spoke about Christ. The water that will flow out of a person's belly is from the what? Belly of Christ. What is the belly of Christ? The womb of resurrection. Are we together? What is living water that flows out? The spirit.
How do you receive the water that flows out? He that believes. So have you received the Spirit of God here? Yeah? So do you have living water in you?
Yes,
can you give it out?
Yes.
Be careful to answer. Can you give out living water? Can you give people living water? The only way you, yes or no, the only way you can give people living water is by pointing them to He who gives living water. It's not that you just go and see somebody as zombie, like, just say, bring your stomach, bring your stomach. you say, take it, out of living water, out of my belly flow. This is where, He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of, so what is Jesus saying? The scripture said, out of his belly shall flow. Who is the He? It is me. That's why he told you, if you are thirsty, come unto me. Are we together? He didn't say, look at that brother there, if you are thirsty, go and meet him for. No, if you are thirsty, come unto, what is coming unto me? He that believeth on me. As scripture says, out of his flesh shall flow river of living water. In case it's not clear, look at verse 39. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Does this bring everything we've been teaching today into a verse? Yes. The Spirit of truth will lead you into all truth. He will glorify me. The Holy Spirit was not yet given. So it means that when the Holy Spirit is given, Jesus is glorified. Yeah? Yeah? He spake ye of the Spirit. So when he says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, what is Jesus doing in verse 39? He's explaining what was said in verse 38. He spoke ye of the Spirit, but which they that believe on him should receive. Yeah, for the Holy Ghost was not given because Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. So the glorification of Jesus is equal to the giving of the Spirit. Did you get that? The glorification of Jesus is the giving of the Spirit, is the indwelling of the Spirit. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the air to the cross, my debt to paid. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to where. So even if you say to the sky is in you. Hallelujah. Your presence is heaven in me. Are we together? Yeah. So from the grave to the sky, or from the grave to my heart. From the grave to the throne. From the grave to the saint. Are we together? Yeah? Now, at this time when Jesus was saying this, had he died and resurrected? That's why it tells you, but the Spirit was not yet given. Yeah? So, they that believe, will, so, he that is thirsty, let him come. What does he mean? In verse 37, he said, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, he that is thirsty, let him come unto me. What is let him come unto me? Believe the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how do you believe the gospel? Romans 10:9. Romans 10:9. Let's pay attention to Romans 10:9 before we close today. Look at Romans 10 verse 9. Look at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. What is the word of faith? The message of faith. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Pay attention. So if he says confessing with your mouth and believing with your heart, thou shalt be. So if you have confessed and you've believed, you are saved. Now let me ask you a question. If you don't confess, Uko, which is important, confessing or believing? So, can a man believe and not confess and is saved? Okay, let me give you a true question. Look at verse 10. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If you're not careful, you think that Paul is putting a distinction between righteousness and salvation. So when you believe, you only become righteous. But you have to confess to have salvation. No, Paul is teaching the same thing. Yeah, the word they confess is the word homologia, is a word that means to say that which is the same. Yeah, or to have a slant. That's the same thing, the same word John used in John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins. Yeah, the word there, if we confess our sins. The word confessing of sin in the Bible is not go to the back of one man and circle and say, Father, Mother Mary, I was in the hotel last night. No. Mary, Mother, Virgin of Mary. How did you see that? This thing again. Some people like to defend some kind of unnecessary this thing. You are wrong, we are wrong. Why are you trying to explain? We don't pray through Mary, we just honor Mary while praying. The joke is on you. You cannot see it. You cannot see it. We don't pray through Mary, we just honor her while we are praying. Who sent you? Glory to God. We know better. Hallelujah. So when it says confess, 1 John 1:9, we've done a teaching on that before. If you confess our sins, he is able and just to forgive us our sins. But if we say we have no sins, we call him a liar, all those kind of things. When he says if you confess us, he's not saying if you confess that which you did that is wrong. It is if you confess that which he has done concerning sins. Are we here? Yeah? If you homologia, it means to homo. It's gotten from two Greek words. Homo and logos. Homo and logia. Logia is gotten from the root word logos. Yeah? Logos is a message. Homo, H-O-M-O, means same, one. So, homologia, or which is homologios, is single message. So, if you say... Look at everybody looking at me. It looks like I'm in a Greek class now. Yeah. So, if you say that which is the same thing, or the same message concerning sins, then you receive forgiveness of sins. Altogether. So when he says, for with your heart believe unto righteousness, with your mouth confess, I mean, he's not saying when you believe, it's only righteous. Galatians can say when you come to God's palace is what? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Sin has no power over me. When Bralemi leads the song of salvation, oh Lord, your salvation, you just keep quiet. When I ask you, why are you not now singing? I've only dealt in righteousness. No. Yeah, the most important thing about the message of the gospel is if you believe. So Paul's use of confessing, of speaking with the mouth and believing, actually your attention should point back to where? The heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Ephesians 1. So how do you become saved? Let me ask a question. How do you become saved? Let me ask a question. How do you become saved? By believing the gospel. How do you become righteous? How do you receive salvation? So which is more important, speaking or believing? Believing. So the most important thing is your heart. Yeah, your change of heart. Believing, your tilting of your heart towards that which God has done in Christ. Yeah, look at Ephesians 1. Let's quickly see Ephesians 1 verse 3. We'll just pay a little attention here and round up here. Ephesians 1, 3. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go! Now, in Christ. Now, that word there, spirit. Now, there's a word in this verse that is not there. What's the word? There are two words that are not there. What are the words? Be and places. Yeah, blessed be the God. Yeah, you know, some of us, I heard some of us say this. You say, blessed be the God who has blessed. We just want to make it look different. It's the same thing. The Greek word for the word there, blessed, is eulogy. And the Greek word for the second word, blessed, is eulogy. The Greek word, eulogy, it means to speak well. This brother said I was not speaking Greek word when that was. It's not my fault. It's what we are teaching. He said I was not speaking Greek word when my dad was there. Now that means not you are speaking Greek word. The Greek word for that's your business. I will not say Yoruba word. That's the Greek word. The Greek word for the word blessed is what? Eulogy. It means to speak well. The word blessed has two Greek words in the Greek manuscript. We did a teaching on that before. One of them is Makarios. M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S. And it means to be fortunate. Yeah? Makarios. Blessed is Makarios. Yeah? And the second word blessed is eulogy. E-U-L-O-G-Y. Eulogy. It means to speak well. To speak well concerning something. To speak well.
Not a single time is the word blessed in the book of Matthew to Revelation used for material prosperity. Not once. Yeah? It means to be fortunate or to speak well. So, what do we do? A lot of time when we read verses like this, we subconsciously give two different meanings to that word, to that single word blessed in this verse. Yeah? Maybe because the first one is capital letter B. So, blessed be the God. What is Paul saying? We speak well of the God that is the Father of... Yeah? Is that true? Yeah? And? Is that true? Yeah? We speak well of the God that is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had spoken well. Yeah? Yeah? He had blessed us. He had... So we speak well of a God who has spoken well of us. Yeah? In reference to what did he speak well of us? All spiritual blessings. What is the word spiritual? Is the word that means that which is of the spirit. So the blessedness of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 are strictly about the spirit. So it means that if a man on earth can have anything, and if a man in a Christian faith can have anything, and a man who is not a Christian that has the spirit of God can have that same thing, is not part of the blessings we have in Christ Jesus. Are we together? So we speak well of our God, that is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has spoken well of us with all spiritual blessings in heaven in Christ. Where is heaven? Where is heaven? Where is heaven? In Christ, in Christ in you. Right? In Christ in you. Yeah? In Christ in you. So when Moses said God created heaven and earth and God said let there be light, Moses was teaching about the union between what? That which is of heaven and that which is on earth, which is what? Adam and Eve being one. And I said a lot there, right? Now, let's see. In the next few verses, nothing material was mentioned. Let's quickly, Brother Steve, let's quickly read through verse 4 quickly. Verse 4 down to verse 17. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in... Are these not spiritual? So these are the blessings of the Spirit. Next verse. What you see in whom? Who is he speaking about? Beautiful. In Christ? Oh, glory to God. In Christ we have what? What is redemption? The forgiveness of sins. So let's read it again. 1, 2, 3, go. So we have forgiveness of sins according to his riches. So the currency of supply of forgiveness of sin is according to his riches. Riches in what? In grace. Riches of his grace. Look at verse 8. Wherein he had abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 10. 1, 2, 3, go. Let me ask you a question. When he says gather together all things in Christ Jesus, is he saying everything but in everybody's houses in Christ Jesus? No, he's just going to speak about the saints. Are we together? Pay attention to figures of speech. It's important that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth. That's really what the saints. Yeah? Even in him. Yeah? Verse 11, 1, 2, 3, go. Oh, glory to God. Verse 12, quickly. What does it mean to trust in Christ? Believe. Right? Look at verse 13. 1, 2, 3, go. What is the word of truth? The message of the gospel. What did you do to that message? You trusted the message. What did you really do? You believed the message. So let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Did Paul say,
in whom also after you believed and confessed. Did Paul say in whom also when you trusted and confessed? Yeah, so in whom you are, you also trusted. After you heard the message of the truth, the message of the gospel of your salvation. So the word of truth is equal to what? Gospel of your salvation. What he now says, what did he now say? He says, in whom also after that ye believed, you were what? 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 You were sealed with the Holy Ghost. What did you receive? That good thing. Hallelujah. That good thing. What did you receive? Rivers of living water. Glory to God. What will you do? Now, what you believed in God, something happened to you. There was a seal. There was a seal. Look at what it means. You know this example. Mama, it's been long. Yeah? Mama Bola, I'm bringing it back again. Mama Bola goes to Otako Market and goes to the first shop where she's buying a bag of rice. But the bag of rice is 50 kg and it's too heavy for her. So she can't carry it. So she tells Mama Shola and says, let me go and buy a bag of beans there. I will come back. Mama Shola now tells her, the owner of the shop now says, oh, I might be going out before you come back, but my sales girl will be here. Yeah? Mama Shola now says, okay, you have a masking tape and a paper. Write your name and put it on the bag of rice. When you come, you will claim your bag of rice. Now imagine you all go and everything. And the sales girl, a very wicked girl, which is the devil, sorry, figure of speech, yeah, now removes your masking tape from the bag of rice. When you go, Mama Bola, and come back to that shop, and you say, this is a bag of rice, what would the girl say? It's not for you. Abi, it's not your own. Where's the proof? Nothing. But imagine before you left, the sales girl doesn't know, but you open the bag a little and put your ID card inside the bag of rice. And you still put your masking tape on top. And you went. So, you put it, I'll say this now to make sense later. So, putting your masking tape on top and putting your seal inside, you went and came back. The sales girl now says, this is not for you, this is not for me. What do? You tell the lady, open the box or the bag, my seal is there. Hallelujah. See it again. In whom also you believe the gospel, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you are like that bag of rice that has been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Yeah? Let me now ask you a very sensitive question that you should answer. What is the place of the masking tape on the body of the rice? Believer's conduct. Did you get that? Without the masking tape or not, you have the seal. It is your own. So if the believer's conduct is the masking tape, without your believer's conduct, you are safe forever. Why? Because the seal is already in you. Are we here? What makes you safe? Not the masking tape. Now, what makes that bag of rice the property of Mama Bola? Not necessarily the masking tape, but the seal inside the bag. What is God's seal in you? The Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? The spirit or the ghost? Yeah, ghost and spirit are really the same words. They were just used in different dispensations. Don't make it sound so, while I was going, I saw ghosts. You don't even like say it. Some of you cannot still go out and build your house close to mortuary. You know, sometimes your conscience can so condemn you that you'll be hearing sound that doesn't exist. I didn't say all the time, sometimes. Yeah? What were you sealed with? The Holy Ghost of promise. See what? So, when the Mama Shola sales girl says, this is not your bag, what do? Just laugh. Ha 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 ha. Laugh like God. Ho, 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 ho. You know, Nigerian film makes us... That's God's laugh now. The only difference is that I did not tell Bralem to add echo. My son. Don't eat that food. You know, sometimes people are very funny. You say you are fasting. You are about to break your fast. God says you extend your fast. Hunger has not held you. Hunger has not held you. Okay, God can ask you to extend your fasting. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Look at verse 14, where we are going to. Which is the earnest of your inheritance until the what? Redemption of the purchased possession. What did you purchase? The bag of rice. When you go and you come back, what are you doing? You are redeeming that bag of rice you already bought with your blood. Are we together? Yeah, the bag is yours. But you are going to buy a bag of beans. So when you come back, you come and redeem that which you've already bought. So you are God's. So what you call the second coming, which is actually Christ in you. Yeah? Revelation of Christ from you, really. Yeah? What you're calling that is actually that you are going to now be seen as one who God has already purchased. So even if the devil says, that brother doesn't even go to church, what do you say? Go, just laugh. Say, ha, 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 ha. check inside the bag of rice. My seal is inside. Are we together? Are we together? He says, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Look at verse 15 quickly. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and love unto all the saints. Verse 16. After I heard, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you for you in my prayer. What is Paul's prayer? Verse 17. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. Go back to verse 3 quickly. Verse 3 quickly. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not careful, you think he's speaking about two different people. Is that true? God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Father, we have Son. Go back to verse 17 again. What did he call it here? The God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he? Father of glory. Hallelujah. He may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Now, remember in verse 14, he already told you you've been sealed with the spirit of promise. That means you've received all of God's spirit. That means God has supplied the spirit and you've received. God has supplied the living water and you've received. So when he says, give unto you the spirit of wisdom, yeah, if you read it in a layman English, it will feel or seem like there's another spirit of wisdom God gives upon you. You know, our mother used to pray for us that let the spirit of wisdom rest upon you. It's a figure of speech. Altogether, in the real sense, what it really means is that he may give unto you the wisdom of the spirit. How do you know it is wisdom of the spirit? He says, that is. Are we here? That is revelation in the knowledge of him. So revelation in the knowledge of him is equal to what? Is equal to spirit of wisdom, which is equal to what? Wisdom of spirit. So when any of us that's going to believe in that prayer, yeah, that God may give unto us the wisdom of the spirit, that is the revelation in the knowledge of him. We've already received the spirit of wisdom. He already dwells in us. That's the spirit of God. Yeah, but there's something called knowledge of that spirit. There's something called what? Wisdom of that spirit. Look at verse 18 quickly. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know. You see? Wisdom, knowledge, knowing. What are you to know? What is the hope of his calling? And what is the what? Riches of the glory of his inheritance. Where? So the riches of God's glory is where? In the saints. Yeah? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Where is he found? In the saints. So the riches of God's glory is found in the saints. But Paul is saying that your eyes of understanding may be enlightened to see, that you may know. That's because not everybody knows what they have. Hallelujah. That means you can have something and not know. You know, if I pay money into your account, for instance, you don't receive an alert, you might not know I've paid money into your account. Yeah? The way you act when you notice there's money in your account is different from how you act when you didn't know there was money there. Are we together? So you can have something and not know you have it. A lot of believers have the Spirit of God, but they don't not. Every believer has the Spirit of God, but not every believer knows. Are we together? So Paul is saying, I dedicate my life to pray for you. Yeah? That your eyes of understanding may be enlightened. Yeah? What is eyes of understanding? Your knowledge may be enlightened, really. Your eyes of understanding may be enlightened that you may know, that you may see that which is the hope of his calling, that which is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, already in the saints. Look at verse 19. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. The exceeding greatness of who? Whose power? Is towards who? So the exceeding greatness of God's power is towards you. Did you get that? See, it means that the think of the greatest power you can ever think of. Let me ask you a question. Everybody in your mind, think of how powerful God is. You're trying, right? Where you are thinking, let's call it greatness. But what God wrought towards you is greater than that what you have thought about. Are we here? Yeah, that you may know the exceeding greatness of his power towards what who believe. According to the working of his mighty power. There's a mighty power of God at work in me. Say that. There's a mighty power of God at work in me. So the exceeding of the direction of God's power is towards who? So God
put the entirety of his power and compressed it into the believer. Are we together? So there's no believer that lacks power. Let me say this. The power of God available in one believer can heal every sick person on earth. So it means that in your neighborhood, in your environment, in your office, it takes just you being there. Having known what God has bestowed upon you, the exceeding greatness of his power has been wrought towards you. So it is impossible to have become born again or to receive the Spirit of God and lack power. Who lacks power here? Nobody. It is impossible for you to be born again and lack power. Let that sink. Look at your neighbor and say, do you know something? Look at someone. Say, do you know something? Say, it is impossible for you to lack power, for you are full of power. So, the other name for being born again is what? The exceeding greatness of God's power towards the believer. So, you can go out today and go and say, or if somebody asks you to fill form for your passport, international passport, when they say, how did they say it again? Religion. Instead of writing Christian, just write, exceeding greatness of God's power dwelling in me. Just write small, and just put comma. As you read this, you are healed. You can communicate power through writing. Yeah, there are some of you here who have healed people through WhatsApp status, right? Is that not true? There are some of you here who have healed people through text messages. Yeah, there are numerous number of people that have gotten healed through text messages. Yeah, you know, sometimes when you say somebody should pray with you, the man decides how he wants power to flow. I can choose to say, and you're healed. The problem we have with a lot of people who don't get healed, a lot of people, is that they are looking for an expected way to receive their miracles through the vessel. So because they have already programmed way to expect, if you don't give them that way, they might not receive. Some people don't believe that if they fall, something changes about their life. Do you agree with me? Some people believe that if I don't fall, power not in that church. Forget it, man. Man, just they buy mic, they change mic every day. Just they buy wristwatch, they go. You know, get power. You know, but some people, just come and remove your suits. Take it. Everybody's down. There are sometimes you see, say, take it. Not everybody will fall. Either you fall or you don't fall. What will happen? Will happen. But you, you know, I told you of a church in US. The man was one major church like this. He got to US. He started playing hands on people. Unfortunately, he started with plastic chairs. He just noticed the first Sunday, he would just do. Everybody will fall after every service. Ushers, we have to be packing chairs that are broken. They have to buy new one over the week. Where is this money going to? One day, just told them, say, come, all of you come. Any day I lay out on you, you fall and you break one chair, you buy four. If you break one, you buy four. From that day, anytime anybody wants to fall, fill my cup, Lord. Hallelujah. See, the exceeding greatness of God's power. But see, you don't have to be walking and people are falling before you understand that God's power lives in you. See, how do you know God's power lives in you? The word says so. The word is final authority over our lives. So you might wake up one morning and not feel you are full of power. What do you do? Go back to the word. God says the exceeding greatness of power dwells in me. He was wrought towards me. Oh no, he says the exceeding greatness. Yeah, and pray the Holy Ghost for it. See, it will dawn on you. They want to test it. Look for someone that is sick. Let's test it. It says, the exceeding greatness of God's power, the powerful power of God's power, dwells in us. So Paul says that our eyes may be enlightened to see that. Let me say this. There's more power resident in the believer than power required to create the earth. Remember, Paul tells you that the exceeding greatness of God's power is towards you. It means that God used a great power to create the universe. But that power God used to create the universe is not the exceeding greatness of God's power. Did you get that? God used the power that God used to create the universe is a lot, is powerful. But it's not as much as the power God used to create the new creation. Hallelujah. So this Holy Ghost in us is a seal that sets us and marks us apart. The Holy Ghost in us is the boundary of God's power, the proof of God's power.
Oh, glory to God. God's power is measured everywhere by the born-again spirit. Hallelujah. Say, I'm full of power. Say, power is my inheritance. Say that with a conviction. Say, power is my inheritance. Say, power is my inheritance. I'm full of power. God's kingdom lives in me. God's spirit lives in me. God's good thing lives in me. Now look at 1 Corinthians 12. Let's end there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. This one will continue on Wednesday. Let's read this together. First of all, there's a word in that verse that is not supposed to be there. What word is that? Gift. So let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. Now, if you are full of power, can you see in the spirit? Can you heal by the spirit? Can you know by the spirit? But can you be ignorant about the spirit in you? It's possible. What did Paul now write in 1 Corinthians 12? Now, concerning the word there, spiritual, is the word there, the spiritual, pneumaticos. Yeah, that's similar to that same word used in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be our God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Pneumaticos. Yeah, it means things pertaining the spirit, things of the spirit. So it means that you've received the spirit of God is one knowledge. There's another knowledge about the things of the spirit that you've received. What did Paul say? Now concerning, the word there concerning is the word peri, P-E-R-I in the Greek. It means concerning or pertaining, in regards to or in reference to. So now pertaining things of the spirit, I will not have you ignorant. That means a man can have the spirit of God and be ignorant of the spirit of God. A man can have the spirit of God and not know he can heal the sick. A man can have the spirit of God and not operate in word of knowledge throughout his life. Say, I'm full of power. Please, people of God, say this. Say, I'm full of power. God lives in me. I'm born of God. I'm born of the Spirit. I'm born of God. I'm born of the Spirit. God's water has made me whole. I'm righteous. I'm redeemed. My sins are forgiven. The Spirit of God lives in me. I'm born of God's Spirit. The things of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit are normal to me. I flow in them. Pray in the Holy Ghost for a few seconds.